We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The McNeil and Parkins Show.
God bless you guys, and God bless your listeners. I love this show. McNeil and Parkins, great. Keeps me straight and narrow on the right path of justification and righteous behavior.
On 670 The Score.
Laundry is a highlight.
Please, one of the sports talk shows in this city, make Steve's laundry as a highlight, one of your hot buttons, okay?
Steve Stone.
That one's going to be on highlight reels all year long.
Cy Young Award winner.
Look at Carlton Fisk in the sign. He hit the spot with it and strikes out Dave Parker.
Steve Stone, the first American League pitcher since Denny McLain to pitch three hitless innings for the American League.
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
They've been trying to keep a lot of pitches away from Jose Abreu tonight. I'm thinking this is a really good matchup. Let's see if he gets careless with one.
It is gone! How good of a matchup!
You like elotes?
Oh, that's my middle name.
Steve Stone.
That toss with the beanbags, what do they call it?
Cornhole.
Yeah, that too.
You're playing for talk radio drop-ins in the second inning?
Steve Stone with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
So excited to have Steve Stone on the Score team this year. You're going to hear him regularly on the McNeil and Parkins show and all of the shows throughout the week. We're very excited to welcome him to the Alphamonte Ford Hotline. Alphamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Steve, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Everything is going well. The Sox coming off their best ball game of the year, and I'm looking forward to seeing Dallas Keuchel go out there once again, and I'm looking forward to the double play combination of Tim and Nick. Nick Madrigal getting a start tonight. It's pretty exciting. I mean, the young man can play, and you know, he'll have to adjust like all hitters to Major League pitching, but defensively, and knowing where to be at the right time, he's pretty good.
You know, we want to get to Madrigal. That's the news of the day. But I'd be silly not to follow up on Wednesday night's game. You called it an exciting one, and what you were glowing after the ball game. And why wouldn't you be? For those of us who watched it, Stoney, it's game six of the season. It felt like mid-September baseball usually feels when your team's back is against the wall. That was drama personified, and what outstanding pitching performances from everybody who touched the ball Wednesday night.
Well, Dan, you're exactly right. I mean, that was for a beginning of the season game, 60 games, 80 games, 180 games, 100, you know, whatever games, it doesn't really matter. For early season baseball, when you look at where the Sox are and where they were at that point, having lost the first two to Cleveland, you get swept in that. It really sends you to Kansas City on a terrible note, because now you're 1-5. Now you're behind both Minnesota and Cleveland by a pretty good margin. That was a huge game to win. I mean, there are no essential games six games into the season, but that one was a good one to win. And you love the fact that the Indians have such great pitching, and they are giving up almost nothing. I mean, they completely handcuffed just about every team they've played, and the Sox battled them and stayed right with them and came through with four in the ninth, and then a high wire act by Colome, but the job was done. Sox did what they had to do after losing the first two, and then it was on to Kansas City for an off day. You know, take stock of where you are and come back with one of your better pitchers in Dallas Keuchel against Kansas City. And, you know, this is pretty much essential as far as the Sox are concerned too, because you're supposed to beat Kansas City and Detroit. You're supposed to have some problems with the Indians in Minnesota. They're two really good teams. But you're supposed to beat Kansas City and Detroit. That's why taking advantage of them tonight. You have one of your best pitchers on the mound. This is a game that the Sox really need to win.
Stoney, on the subject of Nick Madrigal, we know it's the rule, but the White Sox have largely avoided falling prey to the rule with signing their young prospects early. Do you have any problem with how they handled the timeline of Nick Madrigal's promotion to the big league club?
No, I really don't. It's just one of the things that that's done in baseball. I remember, and I'll go back a while ago with another team, another organization, and an organization that has very good young players. Evan Longoria, and I always go to watch the Arizona Fall League because I'm watching a lot of Stars of the Future, and I'm watching Longoria when he's in AAA playing third base, and I was sitting next to a Tampa Bay scout. And I said, I pointed to the guy at third. I said, well, there's your third base in the next 10, 12 years. And he said, yeah, he's really good. He said, of course, he won't break with the team. I said, won't break with the team? He's better than just about everybody in the league now. He said, yeah, but, you know, he needs a little something. I said, yeah, I know. He needs games in the minor leagues to keep his clock from starting. And then amazingly, they signed him to a fairly long-term deal. And he came up to the major leagues before he normally would have, and he won Rookie of the Year. So, you know, every team does that. It's huge as far as the dollars are concerned. It's huge when you consider another year of control over a guy that you think is going to be a quality player. And so, again, this is something that most teams do. Occasionally, teams won't. But it was so few games this year that, you looked at it and said, well, it's one of those things. And I just pretty much knew that Leary would start the year at second base.
How
do you think they should change
Nick
the
Madrigal?
Rule? Sorry, Mac. Do you think they should change the rule so that this sort of thing doesn't have to happen, even if it makes all the logical sense in the world under the premise of the rule?
I don't know. You know, I got to tell you, Danny, they're changing so many rules that all of a sudden, here's Jason and I. We go 18 innings. The team goes 18 innings. We play a doubleheader only to find out that, oh, by the way, it's going to be 7 innings from now on. We could have gone 14 innings. The players and pitchers could have gone 14 innings. So the rules are constantly changing. This is an extraordinary season in so many ways that you really don't know what to expect next. But I do know one thing, and that is that if they don't find some way to make sure that COVID does not get into anybody else's locker room, this is going to be pretty tough to complete this season. We saw a couple of the St. Louis personnel, and we saw that game canceled with Milwaukee. I don't think you can afford to have that happen all the time. And now we see a switch in the schedule. We see that I think it's Philadelphia not going to Miami. Instead, they're going to New York to play the Yankees. Somehow, I would assume that the Marlins have to get some games in. They got to play somebody sometime, but it's not going to be till at least Tuesday, maybe longer, I guess. And so, they're having to flip things on the fly. It's one thing to do it with the Florida Marlins because odds were overwhelming. They weren't going to make postseason play. But let's say it happens to the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Twins or the Astros. I mean, what are you going to do then? How many games are you going to let them sit, and how many games are you going to let them have to make up? I mean, you're going to have one team with 52 games and the other with 59 games competing for the same prizes? I think not. So it's becoming a little complicated at this point, but believe me, baseball literally is doing everything they can. They want to get this season in. They want to see a champion crowned. They want to see a fandom get excited for postseason play. And they're going to do everything they possibly can. And it's up to players to try to keep themselves away from certain things that will expose them to the possibility of getting this virus.
How good of a job are they doing, in your opinion, of adhering to those things that they were warned about in a 113-page recommendation?
Well, you know, I think, Dan, that what I thought we were going to see, what maybe we might see, I thought they were going to have three bubbles. I thought they were going to have one in Florida. I thought they were going to have one in Texas. I thought they were going to have one in Arizona. And in three bubbles, you have a little more control and a little less travel all across the board. Now, I think that was entertained by baseball, but they decided to go against it. I'm not sure if the players were very happy about the extended period of time they would be away from their families, and that was certainly a consideration. That would have been the safest, but in lieu of that, they decided to make things as safe as possible by going with tiers. Jason and I are in the third tier. That means we can't communicate with anybody. I'm lucky I can talk to you guys. I mean, third tier, you talk to nobody. You don't see anybody, don't touch anybody. And the first tier is the players, and it's the coaches, and it's all of the training staff and everybody else who can go into that locker room. They're trying to do what they can. Really, you know, I think everybody wants to point the finger at baseball. These are really smart people. They take counsel from a lot of different areas, and they are absolutely trying to do the best that they can possibly do in a really difficult situation. So I've got to give everybody credit going through this, and hopefully we can get it all in. I think everybody hopes the same thing, get it all in as unwieldy as it is, and then crown a champion at the end.
We're talking to Sox broadcaster Steve Stone. He will be broadcasting remotely with the Sox on the road in Kansas City. Broadcasters, as a member of that Tier 3 distinction that Stoney was talking about, will not be making the trip. How have you found broadcasting remotely? What have your experiences been like with it?
There's only one frustration, and I think if you listen to the broadcast that Jason and I have, you won't even know we're not at the ballpark. But for me, I depend on looking at the field and seeing things that are so subtle that the average fan probably won't see it just because I've seen so many games, which is an easy way of telling you that I'm old. But I've seen so many games that I know if a shortstop does a certain thing, if he comes and he tries to fix a spike mark in the infield, and then he moves back and he's a step to his right. Instead of going back in the same spot, he's a step to his right. That tells me that it's going to be either an inside fastball or an off-speed breaking ball, but the infield, the shortstop particularly, anticipates the hitter's going to pull the ball. That's why he does that. He doesn't want to do it overtly because he doesn't want to tell the other team this is what I'm doing, but he does it as stealthily as possible. And those are things that I love to see. I love to see routes to the ball in the outfield. I love to see how the cutoff man, how they line up, where they are. Do they use two? Do they use one? You can see that when they're playing on your field. I can't see that when the Sox are on the road. That's the one thing that not being at the ballpark takes away. But it's a small price to pay to be able, along with Jason, to do every game. We get to do every game, which is great. There's continuity there. You love to see it. And so, you know, in a 60-game season, it's nice to do every game because of things like happened in Cleveland. I mean, who knew that that sixth game would be as dramatic as it was? And Jason and I were right there on the call to do it. So, again, a small price to pay to be able to do all the games.
We have some breaking news, and we'll be able to talk to Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer about this at 4:30. This from Jeff Passan at ESPN, Steve Stone. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred told the MLB Players Association Executive Director Tony Clark today that if the sport doesn't do a better job of managing the coronavirus, it could shut down the season. This weekend is seen as a crucial juncture for the sport, both in terms of hoping for a limit of positive tests and in players abiding by protocols. Local health officials have been troubled by the lack of mask wearing, high-fiving, and spitting by the players, according to sources. The conversation between Manfred and Clark was not a threat, but a reality check that was relayed to the players and has spread quickly among them. We, all of us, need to clean this up, because if we don't, Major League Baseball in 2020 is going to be over. Stoney, what's your reaction?
I couldn't agree more, and I think the commissioner, I think he did it because he wants to see this completed. All the owners want to see this completed. All the players, I believe, want to see it completed. But I think there are some guys that are a bit too cavalier. I don't think that they truly understand how sneaky this virus really is. I mean, it takes contact with the wrong person for a little bit more time than you would think, and you pick it up. And if one person on your ball club, one, not necessarily a player, but a one of the personnel who, you know, is a tier one guy who is in that locker room. If one person gets it, the whole team's going to get it. I mean, for the Florida Marlins, they have 19 positive cases. 19. That decimates a baseball team. You hardly have enough guys to go play. And if you do, you're playing with 19-year-olds who have no business playing against major league pitching or hitting against major league pitching or pitching to major league hitters. So I agree with Rob Manfred. I think what he said to Tony Clark was absolutely right. And hopefully Tony Clark can get it to each and every organization to start taking this a little more seriously. You know, it's one thing to win and celebrate. It's another thing to be able to try to touch other players. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with a first baseman wearing a mask when there's a runner at first base. I have no problem with that. There's nothing wrong with the runner wearing a mask when he's at first base. I don't see why they haven't been doing that from the beginning. They haven't. There's been some things you see as far as distancing is concerned. I understand dugouts are a tough place to be, but there's other places to sit. And, you know, I think there's a vested interest in all these players. I'm not talking about the money they're going to get, because for those guys making under $1 million a year, they're not going to get anything because of the $170 million advance that that baseball gave. And so it's not the money. It's the fact that you're letting your team, you're letting baseball down. If you don't take this as seriously as you should, I couldn't agree more.
Well, why wasn't this stuff mandated right out of the gate? Why did they have to wait until six teams were interrupted from playing before they recognized it? They all should have been wearing masks and not touching each other the first damn day of this thing.
No, I believe the same thing. But what happens is you get some guys who don't really believe that this is some serious stuff we're going through. I mean, all you have to do is look at the amount of cases and the amount of deaths and how quickly it spreads and when it spreads. You have to just pick up a newspaper, look at your computer. I mean, look at any news stories. You're going to see it in every city each and every day. And the fact that it wasn't taken seriously, Dan, I can't tell you the answer to that. I don't think anybody knows the answer to that, because it was certainly talked about in every clubhouse in the major leagues. It was talked about by every manager, every general manager, every president of the team said the same thing. We have to take this seriously because we all have one goal in mind. That's to complete this season. And why? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of questions about behaviors in all businesses where you could say why, but I don't think there's any answers.
Couple more minutes with White Sox broadcaster Steve Stone, and then we will talk with Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer about that breaking news between the players' union and the commissioner and his team on the north side of town. Stoney, we've been tracking Luis Robert comps that baseball people have been making. I want to play this for you and get your reaction, because the names mentioned about this young player are quite spectacular.
But I could talk about Luis Robert all day.
And I've seen a lot of Under Armour mannequins that look like that.
You will see. He's going to be the next Mike Trout.
Going Ken Griffey, going Willie Mays with him.
Andre Dawson comes to mind.
I was fortunate enough to be able to watch Roberto Clemente play. I have heard that comp with him before.
A combination of Andrew Jones and Bo Jackson.
A combination of Cespedes and Mookie Betts. How about that?
A combination of speed and power. I think maybe potentially Aaron Judge.
To me, he's like Acuna with speed.
I saw Ichiro. You just very rarely see a guy that has the ability to just do it all.
He reminds me a little bit of an Ellis Burks when that guy was beast for a while when he came up with the Red Sox. He reminds me a little bit of Dave Winfield.
As a comp for Luis Robert, he is the Vinny Dubler's mustache of center fielders.
My comparison is Terrell Owens because of how he runs.
So I know you have Andre Dawson in there, and some of them are just jokes, like a mustache and a mannequin. But when you hear those names, what do you think?
Well, I know he's an extraordinary talent. And when you look at an extraordinary talent, you never really know how he's going to develop. I mean, you look at him as a human being. He's developed already. He's right in the neighborhood of 6'4". He's right up there around 215, 220, whatever it is. He runs like the wind. He's very strong. He's got a great arm. He's got big power. The Ichiro, I don't get. He's not going to be able to hit like Ichiro. But then again, this guy's going to do more things, I think, to help you win than Ichiro, only because he's going to be able to hit the ball out of the park consistently. And, you know, Ichiro was a great player, but he was a completely different player than Robert is. As far as the other comparisons, pick out who you want to. Robert is as strong as just about any one of those guys and faster than most all of those guys. The Mike Trout comparison is interesting, but you're looking at the finished product of the best player in baseball. And if Luis ever gets to that, the Sox are going to be very happy. He's got the potential to get there. But, you know, potential has to translate into performance over the long haul. We don't really know. A lot like Eloy Jimenez, who's been plagued by nagging little injuries. Early in Luis's career, he was plagued by nagging little injuries. A lot of these guys never were able to accomplish what guys like Willie Mays accomplished because their bodies didn't allow them to. And you can't predict that. You really don't know. Some guys get injured early, and then all of a sudden they don't get injured anymore. And hopefully that's the case with Luis because he's a special talent. You don't see it come along all that often. I mean, the true five-tool player, there are very few true five-tool players. And there's very few guys who have five tools who play to them. For instance, Ichiro was a five-tool player, but he chose not to hit the ball out of the ballpark because he wanted the hits and he wanted you know, the batting average. He had pretty big power. I saw it. It was pretty amazing. He just chose not to. So he was a five-tool player who chose not to use one tool. Luis Robert will use all of his tools, and you'll see it on a daily basis, and we all keep our fingers crossed that he stays healthy because it's going to be really something. I mean, his potential is by far to be the best player in Chicago. I mean, as far as baseball is concerned, there's nobody can do what he can do.
How long does he have to serve an apprenticeship as a number seven hitter in the lineup before we, you know, the Ricky stops worrying about him? Seems kind of
silly. You know, in a 60-game season, for me again, and obviously I stopped making out lineup cards a long time ago. 60-game season, Luis Robert doesn't know that there's pressure on him. He sees a guy on the mound that most likely he's never faced before, doesn't know who he is, probably, and no doubt he's seen him on video and maybe talked about him with Frank Medichino. But as far as that's concerned, he believes he can hit against any pitcher on the planet. He doesn't care if he hits first or he hits ninth. There is no, for me, again, this is for me, there's no more pressure in the seventh spot as a major league hitter facing a major league pitcher, especially when you come up with runners on base. I mean, he came up, drove in two runs, and helped put the game away, and those two runs came in pretty handy as a third and fourth run. You think he felt any more pressure being the seventh spot than if he had two men on in the same situation and he was in the fourth spot or the second spot? I mean, the spot's almost irrelevant. And especially 162 games, maybe you can make a case for it. 60 games, let's put the hammer down, go with your best, and get them up there as many times as you can. But that's me. I'm not running the ball club.
Many Sox fans at times wish you were. Stoney, we always enjoy talking to you. We're looking forward to doing it throughout the year. Stay safe. Have a good broadcast tonight.
Thanks, Dan and Danny. Have a good show, and I'll talk to you guys, and we'll see if the boys can go get them in Kansas City.
Thanks, Stoney. Take care.
That is White Sox broadcaster Steve Stone. The news of the not threat but reality check from Rob Manfred to the players is it puts a different backdrop on our upcoming conversation here with Jed Hoyer. How does he think his sport is handling this as this house of cards, you know, 20% of the damn league, Mac, doesn't have a game tonight because of the virus. And we're only 10% of the way through this shortened season. So it's one or two more outbreaks and this whole thing could fall apart. We'll talk to Jed Hoyer about it all next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Please welcome the best general manager in Major League Baseball, Jed Hoyer.
I look forward to working with the Ricketts family, with Crane Kenny, to create something special for these fans. People care so much about the Cubs. It's an honor to work for a team where the fans care that much.
I wish all of you could be right here at this moment. Unbelievable atmosphere. And the 0-2. Swing and a miss. Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win! The Cubs are in the National League Championship Series.
I'm about building teams, not about, you know, simply making decisions, and I'm looking forward to that.
The Cubs are going to the World Series. The Cubs win the pennant.
The key to this whole operation is going to be building that scouting and player development machine. The Cubs way.
This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series. Bryant makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all.
But I've gotten so many questions about the iJed Hoyer account. I've hired a team of cybersecurity experts. They're on the case. We're going to solve this problem, and whoever's doing this is going to be stopped.
A nice warm welcome for General Manager Jed Hoyer.
If you guys want to have Bob Nightingale on, you guys can certainly do that.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
We always love talking with the Cubs general manager, Jed Hoyer, on The Score. You're going to hear him often throughout the season on various shows, and we're happy to have him back on the Mac and Parkin Show. We hope to be able to have him picking football games once again this fall. But the Cubs GM joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Jed, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, and we love that baseball's back, but we're kind of balancing the weirdness here, Jed, and there's this report just breaking from Jeff Passan that Rob Manfred and Tony Clark are saying if the players don't do a better job, this season could be shut down. How do you think baseball's doing so far?
Well, I think it was natural that we're going to have real challenges. You know, I think that we're restarting this season at a time that cases are spiking up around the country. And so, you know, as we started travel, I think it was probably somewhat expected that we were going to run into some issues. And I think the challenge that we face is that they made these rules and these protocols with the best intentions. And I think now we're learning a little bit more, and we have to just continue to work together and adjust. And certain protocols have probably worked very well. Certain protocols probably haven't worked as well. And I think that's the key to this, is continuing to make adjustments and not acting like the protocols set forth at the beginning are etched in stone. You have to just keep adjusting and keep learning. And I think we can do this. I'm very confident that we can. But obviously having situations like what happened with the Marlins, it makes things really challenging. And we have to, you know, do everything we can as a group to avoid that.
Jed, are you mad at the Marlins at all?
You know, no. I mean, I think that I don't know exactly what happened there. I mean, their guys want to have a season and get paid and keep their family safe as much as anyone. So not mad at them, but it is, you know, it is something that I think we have to learn from as a group. Like I said, we can't have these type of outbreaks. We have to, you know, if, you know, maybe we look back at the end of the season and having that outbreak at the beginning helped us understand the gravity of it, understand that, you know, limiting it to one or two people in a club may be more difficult than we imagined. And I think when we talk through these things or thought through these things before the season, I think the thought process was about the inevitability of having some positives, but then quickly, you know, moving those players out of your group and then stopping it there. And in this situation, it didn't happen that way. I don't think anyone imagined that we were going to have a situation where 19 players were going to get it. And that can't happen again, obviously. And we need to learn from it. So, you know, maybe at the end of this, we look back and we needed that wake up call. Because I think everyone wants us to go well, you know, baseball needs to play. I think that in some ways the first week or so has been really successful. And in other ways, obviously the fact that we have 20% of the games postponed tonight, that's not a success, but I think there have been real successes. And I think baseball being back has been really meaningful.
I'm left wondering, as I did with the federal government, state government, wondering why the leadership wasn't more upfront at the beginning. Why mask wearing wasn't a mandate from Major League Baseball rather than a suggestion? It seems like this has been invited to some degree.
Yeah, I guess I disagree with that. I think that, you know, mask wearing is – you know, mandated in any kind of closed quarters. You know, I think that, you know, whether you're in the clubhouse, on the team plane, in the training room, you've got to have a mask on. You know, as an employee, we have a mask on from the minute we walk in the ballpark until we leave. We never take it off. So if some protocols were broken, then that's the case. But really the only time you're allowed to not have a mask on is when you're on the field. And I think the logic was that, you know, baseball is a pretty socially distant sport, and that, you know, playing in a mask isn't probably necessary, but every other time they are in close proximity, mask wearing is required. But the truth is we need to learn about which protocols were broken and which things we have to maybe be a little bit more strict on.
It's just been interesting to watch, because you say you're confident that we can get it done and everybody is enjoying baseball being back. I've been floored, frankly, by the high level of play. But when I see that from Rob Manfred and Tony Clark, do you feel like we are another outbreak away from this season being shut down? I guess my question is, like, how close are we to baseball going away, Jed?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I can't answer that, but I think it's obvious to say that we can't have situations like the Marlins happening continuously. I mean, already, I think what we learned, at least I learned more than anything, is I don't think I imagined or I anticipated the domino effect that a team having an outbreak would have on the rest of the league. You know, that, you know, the Yankees and Phillies were impacted by this. The Orioles were impacted. The Nationals were impacted by the Marlins outbreaks. You had five teams that had their week really impacted by what happened. And I think that, you know, we'll see what happens with, you know, the Cardinals and Brewers, but you can also see how the dominoes could fall as well. And so I think that's something that I didn't anticipate as well. And so I think it's very safe to say that, you know, having more situations like the Marlins at some point, you know, it has such a great impact around the league, and I think it's going to make people uneasy. So that's what we have to avoid for sure. We're going to have more positives as a league. We know that. But these mass outbreaks that impact, you know, 20% of the league, I think that's something that's problematic, obviously.
Yeah, in terms of how it will work, you know, obviously we just want baseball back. But do you think that there's a tolerance for, you know, not everybody playing 60 games and just going based on win percentage whenever the playoffs roll around?
I think we might have to. You know, I mean, personally, I think there's also a danger in playing too many doubleheaders and risking player injury in that regard, or, you know, having teams not have enough pitching to get through the, you know, the doubleheaders. Even if there's seven innings, I think playing, you know, 14 innings in a day is still more difficult than playing nine. And so that's a concern I think you have to have as well, is just having, you know, games stacked up upon games. I think at some level you might be better off, you know, going with winning percentage if you have to stack up too many doubleheaders. And we'll see, you know, maybe what's happened in this first week is stopped and that we can get to a place where we're playing a greater percentage of the games. But if we don't, you know, maybe you do just have to go on winning percentage. And they did expand the playoffs for this reason. I think they, you know, wisely, I think both sides anticipated that there would be some issues like this. And I think that in a 60-game schedule with all the randomness, I think, you know, having more playoff spots does help to alleviate some of those concerns.
Jed, have you received today a reasonable explanation from the Reds or baseball as to why your team was sequestered in its clubhouse for 7 hours yesterday when a forecast clearly indicated there wasn't much of a chance of getting a game in?
Yeah, I think where the confusion was that, you know, the Reds were pretty confident that there was a window that we could play for a couple hours, sort of like, you know, 7:30 to 9:30 or 8 to 10. And they were confident in that. They kept saying it. And, you know, despite the forecast that people saw on, you know, sort of publicly available websites, like that was what MLB's, you know, people had. That was what the Reds had. So I never felt like there was anything that was done in any kind of underhanded way. I think they were trying to play the game. I know they wanted to play last night. They lost 2 out of 3. I think they wanted to play that fourth game and they wanted to get it in. You know, I think as far as being in the clubhouse, you know, one of the protocols that we've talked about this morning around Major League Baseball, there's a memo sent out, is just trying to make sure that players are given the ability to get out of the clubhouse, get up in the stands or to an open but covered area, because no one wants the players stuck in the clubhouse for 7-8 hours. That's not wise or healthy. So we need to make sure guys are getting outside. Now, we're going to have rain delays. There's no way to avoid it, but we need to be safe about it.
What'd you think of how Anthony Rizzo handled it on Twitter?
I mean, I understand the players have every right during this situation to focus on health and safety. They should be thinking that. I'd be thinking the same thing if I was a player, and this was our first rain delay. And I think that, like I said, the memos have gone around today about it. And so I think everyone is going to learn from the process. And, you know, I have no issue whatsoever with Anthony sort of pointing out some of the issues. And, you know, like I said at the beginning, this is one, I hope that this process, now that we're playing, can help the players and the league, you know, sort of mend some of the fences maybe that happened during the off time, because we have to work together to get this right. You know, MLB doesn't have all the answers. You know, the players don't have all the answers. The two sides have to work together to make this work. And maybe this is a good thing for the two sides to have to deal with together before we go into the CBA negotiations.
How closely are you and other members of the staff evaluating your players, your manager, your coaches' performance on things that aren't baseball related during the pandemic?
Well, I think if you're talking about how well we follow the protocols and how well we, you know, behave, for lack of a better term, you know, very much so. And so far, I could not be more impressed with the players and the staff. You know, I think everyone has worked hard to, you know, to stay healthy, to keep everyone active, and to make sure everyone's family is healthy as well. And so it's difficult. These protocols are not easy. I do not envy the players. Their days are really challenging with a lot more hurdles in them because of the protocols. And you know, I think that the attitude that everyone's had about it has been excellent. Now, that said, we can't let up on it. You can't ever feel good about it. You have to just continue to be vigilant and continue to focus on getting things right. But, you know, so far the tone has been perfect from Rossi on down.
we're talking to Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer here on The Score. We're all just trying to figure this out, right? Like fans, media, general manager, players, everyone's trying to figure it out. In terms of the analysis of what's actually happening on the field, I'm wondering if like at least this simple truth can be acknowledged. Is it fair to say shorter season equals shorter leash when a player is struggling?
Yeah, I think that's very fair. You know, you don't have the ability to let some things play out. You know, when you're playing 162, you can let a guy try to establish himself for, you know, 5, 6, 7 outings and know that, you know, it's going to be worth it, that you're going to reap the reward in August and September. You know, the first guy that pops in my head, you know, as an example, would be like Hector Rondon. You know, we gave him a lot of outings early on to try to let him establish himself. And some of those outings were not very good. But later in that season, he was outstanding and he ended up being our closer for several years because we were able to give him that time. And we can't do that now. We can't give a guy, you know, a 6, 7, 8 game leash to figure it out because there's not enough baseball to be played. And that's on the pitching side. And the same goes for the hitting side that, you know, sometimes it might take a guy 100 at-bats, I know, 100 plate appearances to get into a rhythm. Well, it's hard to give a guy 100 plate appearances if he's really struggling. So I think everyone knows that intuitively, that there's going to have to be a little bit more playing of the hot hand, a little bit less patience. But that goes with playing a really short season.
What gives you reason to have some optimism about your bullpen early on a struggle for this club?
Yeah, I mean, I think in some ways, you know, the it's the one area that is natural to have concern about after the first, you know, 6 games. I think our offense, I love the way we've swung the bat so far. I love the energy on defense. Starting pitching has been really good, but the bullpen hasn't thrown enough strikes, and I think that we've paid for, you know, hitting so many batters and walking so many batters as we should. You know, you can't give up that many free base runners and expect to get away with it. You know, we were very, very fortunate to come away with a win on Monday. And in general, our bullpen has, you know, put too many guys on. So, you know, what gives me optimism? I think that in a lot of ways, I look around the league, watch a lot of games, and you see a lot of games that have gotten away from teams in middle innings around the league. And I think that this has been something that we have to address clearly, but it's also not just our club that is having some struggles in the middle innings. And, you know, we really need to throw more strikes. But I do think that, you know, some of these guys have had one, maybe two outings. I think as guys kind of get their sea legs underneath them, get, you know, figure some things out, I am confident that we're going to get through this rough stretch. But, you know, certainly we need to, because, you know, we're, you know, this many walks is going to come back to haunt us in many games.
Save situation tonight. Craig Kimbrell get the ball?
Yeah, I mean, that's Rossi's decision, but I've certainly had no indication that he wouldn't. And, you know, I think that, you know, I think the other night, you know, I think that he obviously got out of whack. You know, he couldn't correct himself, but I think with his track record, obviously he's got a lot of saves, had a ton of success, and certainly the velocity was there. It wasn't an injury situation. It was simply, like I said, he lost his mechanics. And, you know, I know he's thrown a bullpen session to try to find those things. So, you can't run away from track records after, you know, one or two relief outings or after, you know, one or two starts for a starting pitcher. I mean, the leash has to be short. There has to be urgency. But it has to be within reason. I mean, we have to realize that guys are allowed to have bad outings, and we can't be evaluating that much game to game. But, you know, certainly Craig struggled on Monday, and he'd be the first person to admit it.
You know, it's been interesting to watch, and it's really come through on the TV broadcast, partly because there's no fans. The energy that your team has had from the dugout, you can hear it. It's actually something that is now, like, tangible for fans watching at home. What can you tell us about any of the backstory to that in terms of how engaged and vocal your team seems to be?
You know, it's really interesting. I think that's one of those things that, is probably talked about more than fans would realize that, you know, with Joe as well, like that would be a thing after the game, you know, how was the dugout? And, you know, some nights it'd be like, ah, a little quiet tonight, or, you know, wasn't, you know, guys weren't, you know, quite as active in there. And when the team's going well, and when the team's bringing energy, the dugout is loud, it's excited. And I think that's really important, more important now than ever. But even when we're with fans there, you know, feeling that energy in the dugout, feeling that your teammates are behind you, everyone's sort of, you know, pulling in the right direction. I think, you know, getting, you know, sustained really good at bats. I think a lot of that is about the chatter and the discussion in the dugout about what we're trying to do. I love the energy so far. You know, our guys are really in tune with our players having quality at bats. And I think we talked about this on the show many times the last couple of years. You know, when this group is at its best, we're really tough outs. You know, long at bats, we grind you out. And that wasn't necessarily the case the last couple of years. And I've felt that energy the last you know, six games. I think we've had great at bats. Even our outs have been a lot of times very productive. And I think that that's something I think we can continue to, and Rossi has really preached that we've got to bring that energy every night. There's no 40,000 in Wrigley Field, and we have to bring it ourselves. And I think the players have done a, you know, spectacular, you know, job of that.
Jed, I want to close with an issue that I know is very personal and special to you. I had my first son this year, and he was born very prematurely, and he spent some time at Northwestern's NICU. When I was a kid, I was at Children's Hospital, had some back problems and surgeries. We've got some great medical centers and hospitals in this city, but I know you are involved with Lurie's. What is your involvement, and what do you think people should know about what's going on at Lurie's Children's Hospital?
Yeah, you know, so, you know, my dad's a pediatrician, and, you know, so that's always been something that's sort of dear to my heart. And, you know, when I came to Chicago, I got involved with Lurie's, you know, because of my interest in that area, you know, because I had three kids, you know, because of, you know, my dad was a pediatrician, and it's just a spectacular place, you know. The doctors are amazing. You know, I go to the board meetings, and I come away incredibly inspired, not just by the discussion about, you know, treating patients, but also just by how well run the hospital it is, and how much they care about their mission, which is just, you know, getting kids healthy, you know. And they have some of the best doctors in the world, and they're some of the, you know, most impressive people I've been around professionally. So it's a great place. I love giving my, you know, my time to them. And, you know, I feel like, especially, you know, during a pandemic, you realize just how important it is to have, you know, doctors, nurses, you know, people on the front lines that truly care about, you know, treating our children. So it's a great place. And, you know, if you need to go there, you know, because a child is sick, just know that you're in the best hands imaginable.
Very well said. Jed, thank you for the time and the candor. We're all trying to figure out this baseball season together. Thank you very much for the time.
Thanks, Jed.
All right, guys, of course. I'll talk to you soon.
Have a good weekend. Take care.
That's Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer. We have some details on what caused the Marlins outbreak in Atlanta. We will give them to you next on The Score. All right, we'll be back shortly. Jed Hoyer said he's confident they're going to be able to pull this off, but got to keep the players out of the hotel lobby. That's apparently what the Marlins were doing. They were at hotel bars and all sorts of nonsense. We'll update you on everything that's potentially going to take away this season of baseball, but hopefully not here in Chicago, at least not yet. 20% of the league not playing tonight, but we got two games in town. We're talking about it coming up after Tanny's open. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.